The role is, in simple terms, to help to set the way for a development agenda from 2016 on until 2030, a development agenda for the whole humanity, not only the developing countries, but also the developed countries, to have some common goal. And the forum that I'm chairing now is the one which will be in charge of implementing these goals and follow up the implementation of these goals.
It sounds like a tough task that you have.
At the moment, it's not a tough task. It's a wonderful challenge. And it's because one can contribute to an agenda that has honestly never been there before in the world. That we sit here and believe that we can, the 193 member countries of the United Nations, forge a common development agenda for the more than 8 billion inhabitants on our globe, and to enact it and, you know, to be part of this extremely interesting and creative development is truly rewarding.
This is obviously a very important task. How difficult is it when you're sitting in conference rooms at UN headquarters in New York to lose sight of the very many people who are going to benefit from these new goals?
Honestly, I don't think that we lose sight of this, but I believe that we are fully cognizant of the fact that we sit in here for billions and billions of other people around the globe. And I don't sit only for my 8.3 million Austrians, but I do have a responsibility for so many, many other millions and billions on our Earth.
You talk about these new sustainable development goals helping both the developed world and the developing world. Why are they aimed at the developed world, the rich people in this world?
Well, first, not all the people in the developed world are rich. Also, in the developed world, we have inequalities. In the developed world, we have, unfortunately, poverty. In the developed world, we have sometimes even very high unemployment rates, especially among young people. So this hurts. And if you don't have a job, it is equally bad if you don't have a job and depend on your family if you live in Europe or if you live in Africa. Because being dependent and not being able to make your own money, that's everywhere bad. And we have to fight that, especially for young people. And it's sad that we have no future generations in Africa, but we have no future generations in Europe.
And these sustainable development goals are going to be replacing the Millennium Development Goals, the deadline for which is next year. To what extent do you see them as a continuation of those goals, or are we going in a new direction?
We are going in a new direction. And it was good first that we had the Millennium Development Goals, and we still have 1.5 years to fulfill them. And poverty eradication, there can still be a lot done in these 1.5 years. And you can still do a lot in fighting HIV. You know, it's not right to put the hands now on the table or on the knees and say, thank you, this is all done. No, there are 1.5 years more to do. And governments can still do a lot to work on that and also to get children to schools and to fight malaria. There is no reason not to continue working until the very end. But afterwards, we will have a much broader agenda with goals that do also have some societal aspects, political aspects, like access to justice, peaceful societies, rule of law, fight against corruption.
Fighting corruption is expected to be included in the Sustainable Development Goals. It wasn't part of the MDGs. Why is corruption part of the mix now?
Because the corruption is a scourge, both for developed and for developing countries. We have corruption in Europe. We have to fight corruption in Europe. And as much as I know, this is an evil existing in the developing countries. We had a youth forum at the beginning of June, and there was one delegate, I think, from the Senegal. He said the biggest discrimination for young people is corruption. And then he asked, do you know why? The reason is because young people don't have any money to bribe anyone.
How difficult is it to get member states to agree on these very diverse goals?
It is difficult. Obviously, if you have a country of the size of China, to have the same interests as the country Tuvalu in the Pacific Ocean. China has 1.4 billion inhabitants. Tuvalu has about 10,000. So that already shows, and that's an island state in the Pacific. So these goals and these interests will not always be the same. But both China and Tuvalu are very much interested or should fight for a better climate. If China will not improve its environment, then people will really suffer, also the kids. And in Tuvalu, if climate change goes on like it is, these islands probably will not exist anymore in a couple of decades. So there are joint interests too.